Hey, today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Chuf Yud Beis. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elisha Benuman. This is close a refuah shalema for Chaim Naftali ben Frumit Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida Baschaya. They should both have refuah shalema b'soch shar chola Yisrael. So we read the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Alfam Beis. The Mishnah all about Yerni Dachas, and the entire daf today is all about Yerni Dachas. First, we're going to have a brisa that darshins each of the phrases in the pasuk about Yerni Dachas to teach us a variety of halachos about Yerni Dachas. The Gemara is going to talk about if a single city could be divided amongst two shvatim. We're going to have a machlokas and a couple of rayos, whether it can or cannot be. We're also going to discuss whether an Yerni Dachas can be an Yerni Dachas if nobody's madiach. Let's say the people were mechavin on their own to do avodah zarah. No one had to tell them to do avodah zarah. Can that become an Yerni Dachas? And the Gemara is going to have a machlokas. How do you ever get to the point of Yerni Dachas? You need to have rove of the city, but each person has to be judged as an individual first. So do you kill the people as you judge them? How do you get to the point to know that it's rove of the city and judging the people as an Yerni Dachas? How long does a person have to live in a city in order for it to be considered for him to count in the cheshbon of rove ha'ir for the Yerni Dachas? And then the Gemara is going to have a number of different questions about defining what's called the shlal ha'ir, what's considered to be something that's an asset of that city. What if someone in that city owns property, not property, but owns metaltalin outside of the city? Well, someone outside of the city has a pikadon that's being housed in the city, and many, many other detailed questions about what exactly is the shalal ha'ir. And then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas, what to do if the city doesn't have a rechov, because everything has to be brought l'rechov shalir to be burnt. And then the entire Amud Beis is going to be how to deal with holy items that are in Ir Nidachas, how to deal with kadshim, with karbanos, with becharu, meiser, with truma, with meiser sheni. So that's all going to be Amud Beis, what to do with all of these holy items. The only thing the Gemara doesn't really discuss in great detail on Amud Beis is what to do with tefillin and mezuzahs and things like that. So that we don't get to discuss in today's daf. We just make passing mention of it in the daf. But let's take a look at the brisa here on the bottom of daf. Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis says the brisa, Tanu Rabbanan, Yatsu, Tanu Rabbanan. The brisa teaches the first, it's important to know the whole context of the pasuk. The pasuk reads that Yatsu Anashim B'nei Belial Mikirbecha, there are these bad people that come from your midst, V'yadichu Es Yoshvei Iram Lemar, and they they lead astray those people who dwell in your city, and they tell them, Nel Chavinavda Elohim Acherim, let's go worship Elohim Acherim, Asher lo yadatem, that are previously unfamiliar to us. So now we take each word of the pasuk. Yatsu, pasuk says yatsu, hein velo shluchin. That it has to be that dafka the madichim themselves, that they don't send shluchim. It doesn't become an Yerni Dachas unless the madichim themselves are the ones to do the actual adacha. They're on the front lines. Anashim, ein anashim pachus mishnayim. Anashim means a multiplicity of people. It's got to be at least two people that make an Yerni Dachas, that are madiach the Yerni Dachas. If it's just one charismatic leader that causes everybody to do the avodah zarah, not going to be a Yerni Dachas. Now keep in mind, not going to be a Yerni Dachas just means that everyone's going to be chayv skila. It doesn't mean that they're off the hook. It just means that they're going to be that we're going to judge them as individuals as opposed to judging them as an entire city. Dover acher, anashim v'lo nashim, anashim v'lo ketanim. No, the other possibility is anashim means to exclude women or ketanim. If it's women or ketanim that are leading the city astray, so then it won't become an Yerni Dachas. B'nei Belial, bonim sheparku ol shamayim mitzavareim. B'nei Belial means people who have thrown off the yoke of Malchus Shemayim. So that's a little bit of an interesting drasha. What's the chiddush? Isn't that like the point? That's what they're getting you to do, avodah zarah. So of course they were porek ol Malchus Shemayim me'al tzavareim. Isn't that the very definition of ol Malchus, of what the madichim would be? So that's the in the Sefer Sanhedrin Katana, he says it could be that we're trying to teach a new halach over here, that it's not just Stam explaining what these people are. And he explains that there's that anyone who's hudach that does avodah zarah technically could become potter. He could say a taina that he didn't do anything wrong. It's the madiach that led him to do the avodah zarah. And even though generally speaking that's not an excuse. Oh, he told me to do it. Divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, divrei Mishamim. So you shouldn't have listened to him. But that's only when he's telling you to violate one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. But when he tells you to do avodah zarah to be kofar be'ikr, so you don't have a divrei Rav. Meaning the whole svara of divrei Rav, different Talmud, different Mishamin, is that you accept that there is a Rav, you accept that there is a Ribono Shel Olam. But if the whole idea was that the person is being Madiach you to tell you that to deny the Ribono Shel Olam, so then you would think that maybe he would have a Taina of Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, that there would be no Svar of Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud. He would have a Taina that I shouldn't be Chayiv. So what's our Taina on the Nisas? Why do we hold him accountable? Because he should take a look around and see that this is what Jews have always done. Jews have always believed in God. Jews have always worshipped in this way, and that's what he's supposed to do, and he shouldn't pay attention to other foreign ideals. Yeah, but what if the entire city is doing this? He sees a whole city of people, so that excuse falls by the wayside also, or that chov against him, that argument against him falls away. I'm looking around and I see that everyone's doing it. So that's why the Bryce says B'nei Belial Banim Shaparku Ol Shamayim Mitzavreim, to tell us that we're talking in a case where the Masisim were known already as B'nei Belial, and therefore the B'nei Ha'ir never should have listened to them in the first place, because it was known that they broke from a Masorah. Sometimes people will do certain things and they'll convince you that it is the Masorah. No, but they were known as B'nai Belial. It's a halacha that in order to be an Erei Dachas, they have to be known as B'nai Belial. That's what the Sanhedrin Ketana Chiddush. Sanhedrin Ketana says, otherwise it's just very difficult to understand this line of the Braisa. Of course they were Porek all Ne'al Tzavareim. Mi Kirbecha, the Pasuk goes on to say, that they come from Kirbecha, V'lom and Asfar, that it can't be from a border city. We can't destroy a border city of Eretz Yisrael. It's too much of a strategic point to for the safety of Eretz Yisrael. Yoshvei Iram v'lo Yoshvei Ir Acheres, and it has to be that the hasasa, the hadacha, comes from people in the city, not people from outside of the city. Leimar shetzrichin edim asra l'kol echad ve'echad. Leimar teaches us that each and every person who is judged as part of the Erei Dachas, you need to have normal edim and asra against them. So good. So that is the discussion of the actual pasuk. Now itmar Rabbi Yochanan amar chol k'nir achas l'shnei shvatim. Rabbi Yochanan holds you could divide one city in Eretz Yisrael amongst two shvatim, meaning the borders of Eretz Yisrael were drawn. They were nischalik l'shvatim in Sefer Yoshua, with kibush and chiluk, and the lines are drawn. But then cities were built after that, and cities aren't always built within those borders. So what if you have a city that goes over two borders? So do you just say that we have to decide which shevet is going to take the entire city, and he's just going to have a smaller chelik in Eretz Yisrael, or does a single shevet get divided? Is it nischalik l'shnei shvatim? Reish Lakish amar ein cholkin irach. Reish Lakish says, no, you do not divide one city amongst two shvatim. That it has to go to one shevet, even if it doesn't fit along the lines. Now, the truth is, Yerushalayim is an exception, right? Yerushalayim is divided among Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Binyamin, but that's a Gezeres HaKosov, the Gemara Darshan's Maseches Yuma, that a Ritzua Yotzeis, and that's with the Mizbech, Yerushalayim is Nischalik. But we're talking about other than Yerushalayim, you would not be Mechalik L'Shnei Shvatim. So the way Rashi understands what that means is that whichever Shevet has the majority of the city just gets the whole city. Your Holy Chacharov. The Yad Ramah is not satisfied with that, because he says you still haven't accounted for 50-50. What if it's exactly split between the two Shvatim? So sometimes they say, whatever, what are the chances? We have to account for that possibility. It might be 50-50. He says a Goral. If it's split, no matter what the percentages are, it could be 10% one Shevet, 90% the other Shevet, you do a Goral and you figure out and you assume, because Goral plays, it's a question in Halacha, whether Goral is a way to decide something. There's a tshuva in the Chavis Yair, if a Goral is something that we can rely on, and it's an ethical way to decide problems that you have. But certainly Chiluk Ha'aretz could be decided al yidei Goral. That was the way it was done. So that's what Yad Ramah says. Some we just go back to a Goral. So the Gemara is going to have two rayas now in this machlokas. Eisei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Achu Madicheha Me'osa Ha'ir Umei also shevet. Two qualifications of the Madichei Erei Dachas. They have to come from that city and they have to come from that shevet. So my love, afal gavde medichah may also ir iiko may also shevet in ilolo. Doesn't that imply that those are two separate qualifications? That if they come from the same city, they still might not be from the same shevet. Well, how's that going to be possible that they're not going to be from the same shevet? Shmamino cholkin yirachas beishvatim. It must be that we're assuming that you could have one city where there are two shvatim that are in control of that city, that it doesn't all go to a single shevet. So the Gemara says, nah, not necessarily. It could be that a city has to belong to a single shevet. But you could still have a person in the city who's not from the Shevet, and a true resident of the city who's not from the Shevet. A resident means owns land, someone who owns land in the city who's not from the Shevet. How do you have that? Lo denafle biyerusha. The person could have gotten it biyerusha, meaning a person could have yarshined it from his mother if there was no one else to yarshin it. So meaning his mother yarshined. Let's say his mother was an only child, or she only had sisters, so she yarshined from her father, from whatever shevet he was from. She yarshined her father's land, because like Menos Lavchad, right? There were no brothers, so it couldn't stay within the shevet. So then she married out of the shevet, and if she marries out, so good. So now this guy yarshins from his mother. So that's how you could have a person in the city who doesn't belong to the shevet. Now it happens to be, the Gemara tells us, the Menos Lavchad were they were chayiv to marry within their same shevet, not to take the property out of that shevet. But it could be that was Rishonim explained, that was a one-time halacha, dafka for the Bnei Slavcha. Or it could be, even if it wasn't a one-time halacha, what do you do in the following case? A woman gets married to someone who's not from her shevet. Can you imagine the Shidduch crisis if you also had to match Shvatim? You had to only marry someone from your shevet? It would be too much. So a woman's allowed to marry someone that's not from her shevet. She has brothers. She's not taking any property anyway. Her brothers are going to get the entire Yerusha, and then all of her brothers die. And she's the only one left to Yarshin. So now she has to get divorced. She's not allowed to stay. Of course not. Once she's married, she's allowed to stay married. So you can have cases where a woman will Yarshin, even if you're going to say that when she's when she doesn't have any brothers, she's not allowed to marry outside of her shevet. But certainly if she already did, so she can Yarshin. Inami diavua ne'alei b'matana. Or it could be that it was given as a matana. The Madichim got this chelik of this city as a matana, even though they belong to a different shevet. So it says in Gemara Esvei, another raya. Arim teisha me'eis shnei ashvatim ha'ele. That there are nine cities that were designated for the Levim that were given by two shvatim, by Shevet Yehuda and by Shevet Shimon. So it says, my love, arba upalga mehai, v'arba upalga mehai. How do you divide nine amongst two shvatim? It must be that four and a half were contributed by one Shevet, four and a half were contributed by the other Shevet, and Yehuda and Binyamin shared a city. So it must be that you're allowed to divide a city by among shvatim. Ushma minah, cholkin yarachas, lebe shvatim, says Gemara, lo. Arba'a mehai, v'chamesh mehai. No, it was four and five. It wasn't four and a half and four and a half. Yachi lifrosh prushe. Well, if it was four and five, why would you say that it was nine cities from two shvatim? Say that it was five cities from this shevet and four cities from that shevet. It would be much clearer way of speaking. Says Gemara Kasha. That's Taka Kasha. Says Rashi, Loshna Apostle Kasha Latariat, the Mandi Amar Cholkin, Avalomitosav. Rashi quickly points out the word Kasha is different than the word Tiyufta, that this is not such a strong Kasha. It's not an unimaginably difficult Kasha to overcome. Okay, meaning the shortest way to say it, you know, the Gemara says at the beginning of Pesachim, Lomni Lamedes Adam Es Benova, Talmida Beloshim Ketzara. You should always try to be as brief as possible. So good. So the shortest way to say it is two Shvatim gave nine cities for the Ari Levi. Does it really matter who gave what? So maybe it's a kasha, not a tiyufta. So Yibayilu, the Gemara raises a new shayla. Hudchu me'alehen mahu. What if the people on their own decided to do avodah zarah and the majority of the city, it just became a thing? So there are certain trends that are inexplicable. No one's forcing it. No one's pushing it. You just people just get into it. We've seen how many times, how many fads, how many things. Just the people Pokemon Go. I don't know, whatever. It's just that you can't explain, like, why is this an interesting thing? But people get into it. So people just got into avodah zarah. No one had to tell them. On their own, they decided. So v'yadichu amrachman v'lo shehudchu me'alehen. Does it have to be that someone is forcing them? Or could it be that a person, that they're doing it on their own? That even when they do it just on their own, that that's considered near nidachas. So Toshima says, well, let's bring a raya. So we had said that if hidichu anashim ukatanim, then it does not become a near nidachas. Now, if you're going to say that even when they decide on their own without anybody pushing them, it's going to be a near nidachas, amai, lahavi kihutchu me'alein. Nashim ukatanim are less than nobody? Meaning, if nobody is hudach them, they're going to be in Irani Dachas. But if their 5-year-old child said, you should go and do avodah zarah, now all of a sudden they're not in Irani Dachas, how would that make any sense? So the Gemara says, Hanach Basar Nafshayu Gredi Hani Basar Noshim Uktanim Gredi. There's a difference, the Gemara says. Those that are Hudach Me'aleim are following their own Ratzon. So it turns out that they're very much connected to this act of Avodah Zarah. So it could be that that would make them an Ir Anidachas. Whereas, if one is pressured by their wife or by their children, if one is pressured by Noshim Uktanim, it doesn't necessarily tell you what they really feel and what their actual deep connection is to Avodah Zarah. It just tells you that they're a puppet of their wives and children. So maybe they're not going to be punished as an Ir Nidachas, because part of being an Ir Nidachas is that the people have to really believe in the movement. It has to be a movement that people actually believe in. By that logic, you could ask, well, then why, when men are Madiach them, would they become an Ir Nidachas, right? You would think that they could be more influenced. Maybe the Vart is that people are more influenced by their wives and their children, even when they don't see the svara, but from an outsider it would take a lot more, whatever the svara might be. Ad sheyudach ruba. So we said you need a hadacha of the majority of the city. So says Gemara, hechi avdinan. How does this actually play out? Meaning you need edim and asra for each individual. An individual is chayv skila. So what do you do with each individual till you get to the majority? So Amar Rav Yehuda, done in b'chavshin. You don each person and then throw them in jail. And then we slowly, as we throw these guys in jail, we'll see if the jails fill up to the point where we have a majority of the city, and then we'll say it's an irani da. So it's difficult to understand how that plays out. What's the time frame? Meaning, how long do they have to stay in jail before you say every time someone's over Avodah Zarah? So you would imagine that there has to be an understanding that there's a movement where it's at least close, you know, where it's going to be a tough call whether it's going to be in Ir Nidachas. You could get a sense that if it's just one nut who's doing Avodah Zarah and everybody else is, so you have to imagine that it has to be a chance, and that there's some cutoff time that, okay, everyone today, if we could be done them for the meisim that they've done up until this point, as near any dachas. But that's Rabbi Yehuda's svara, that don v'chavshin. Amle ula nimtza atama ana iddinan shalelu. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not a way to solve the problem, because then you're going to be in violation of the inuei adin. If a person is chayv skila, you got to give him skila today. You can't wait. You're not allowed to be ma'ana the din. Ella amar ula don v'soklin. So ula says, no, you kill him one at a time. Done with soklin, meaning you done each person. If he's chayv misa, you kill him right away with skila, like a yachid is over Avodah Zarah. After half of the city has already been killed, you then say anyone from here on in who is caught with Avodah Zarah is not going to be chayv skila, because now it's in the spiral of Mafreya that it's near Nidachas, is going to be chayv sayif instead. Question is, what do you do about the money from that from those people? Certainly, from anyone that's caught from here on in, so you know the money is going to be destroyed. So that's an interesting discussion in the Achronim. Some of the Achronim are medayik from Rashi, and Rashi Dibra Maschil. Done in Vesoklin. So Rashi says, Ad Chetzion, the Mechaskin Luhu Ki Yechidim, Vedon in Vesoklin, Umi Chetzion Ve'elach Nesparadav Mafreya Shohud Churuba. And after you get halfway, after you get to the halfway point, now it's Nesparadav the Mafreya that most of them were Hudach, Vavu Besayef, Umamonam Avad. So the Medayik from Rashi, that when he says umamonam avad, that it means even on the first half, because then Rashi talks about the second half after he says umamonam avad. So we're going to go back to all their yarshim, take away, confiscate all the property, and now we're going to destroy all the property. Chazanish has an idea that it's more than an idea. There are many, many rayas to the idea that in Ir Nidachas is tali in psak beizdin, meaning there's mashal mad. If I borrow $10 from you, so I owe you $10. Why? Because Beisdin told me I owe you $10? No, because I borrowed $10. It created an automatic chov. There are certain things that they are just because they are. You don't need Beisdin to declare them to be so. But there are other things that require Psak Beisdin in order for it to be so. So Ir Nidachas does not mean Rova the city did Avodah Zarah. It means that Beisdin saw enough evidence about Rova the city doing Avodah Zarah that they declared with the Psak Beisdin that this is an Ir Nidachas. And therefore, the Chazanish says, when the first half of the city was doing it, it was not an Ir Nidachas, because it had not yet been declared an Ir Nidachas. Memela, it's Mamonim Palat. You're not going to destroy all their money. It's only once it was declared as a Psak Beisdin that they're an Ir Nidachas. Only then do they actually become an Ir Nidachas. Itmar. Rabbi Yochanan done v'soklin, done v'soklin. Reish Lakish Amar marbin. So Rabbi Yochanan also held done v'soklin. You judge each one. Reish Lakish Amar marbin len batei dinin. Reish Lakish says we just set up as many batei dinim as we can and take care of all of them in one day. Now, obviously, the reason we're marbin len batei dinim is not because there happens to be a halacha that a single beis din is not allowed to judge two misa cases on the same day. But that's not the issue over here, because if it's the same misa, they're allowed to judge multiple on the same day. But it's just the point is just to get them all done. They have to research, they have to listen to Eidim, they have to do Drisha v'Chakira. So you need lots and lots of Bat Eidinim to take care of the city. Eini v'amra b'cham bar Yosi amra b'oshia v'altesas isha hu o'se isha yi ish v'isha atamotzi l'sharecha v'yatamotzi kol yirkula l'sharecha. But don't we darshan that you can't, if the entire city did have avodah zara, you don't darshan them b'sharei yir. The only basin that could handle them is the Sanhedrin Gedol of Yerushalayim. Sharecha means the Sanhedrin Ketana of that city. So it's interesting that the Gemara asks from there. You know, if you wanted to bring me a raya that an Ir Nidachas requires the Sanhedrin Agadol and is not good enough the Sanhedrin Ketana, is the best we could do that that Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Yossi said so? We have much better. The very first Mishnah in the Masechta went through. When do you need a basin of 3? When do you need a basin of 20? When do you need a basin of 71? And said, an Ir Nidachas needs a basin of Agadol. So it could be, some of the Achronim point out, that we dafka quote Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Yossi because he quotes a Pasuk. He's a less authoritative source than the Mishnah, but a Pasuk is a more authoritative source than the Mishnah, so we dafka quote the limud from the pasuk. But the kasha still stands. Having all the Sanhedrin katanas you want is not going to help. El marbinlan bati dinin ma'ainin bidinehen umaskinu l'lbez nagadol v'garmin l'dinay v'kati l'hu. So what you have to do is you have to have a bunch of Sanhedrin katana be ma'ainin in the din, see that we have a strong enough case to actually be judge them, and then bring them to the Sanhedrin gedola. Yadrama points out, and then the Sanhedrin gedola is going to have to do all their own independent research, because they can't just listen to what the Sanhedrin katana says. Being judged in Sanhedrin gedola means Sanhedrin gedola actually does some judging. Hakesakes yoshveir. So we say that we have to kill the people who live in the city. So the Mishnah discussed, okay, what if someone is just passing through town? Does he count as a resident of the city when we're trying to do the cheshbin of what counts as an Ir Nidachas? Tan Rabbanan, Hachameres, Hagameles, a donkey rider, a camel driver, Hoveres Mimakom Lamakom, that travels one place to the other. So Lanu Betocha V'Hutchu Ima, if they sleep over in that city and they get caught up in the craze of doing the Avodah Zarah as well, if they're there for 30 days, they're considered a ben ha'ir, that they are also chayiv saif, their mamon also gets destroyed. But pachas mikain, hein beskila manam palat. But if it's less than 30 days that they spend in the city, then they're judged as individuals. So says Gemara, 30 days? That's what makes a person a ben ir? Or a mini alaskastira kami, ir bi ir via kanche ir? How long do you have to be in the city to be considered one of the Anshei Yair? What does it mean to be one of the Anshei Yair? To have the Chiyuvim of Anshei Yair, to help pay for security in the city, to pave the roads in the city, for the garbage pickup, what we call taxes, not what the Gemara calls taxes. The Gemara calls taxes when you're just giving the king money for his treasury. What we call taxes is what the Gemara called the Shutfas, that you, as part of being a member of that society, you have to contribute so that, because you're benefiting from all these things that you're contributing toward. That's what Shachar always points out, that people in Eretz Yisrael, who sometimes quote the Ran in a Darin, that in Eretz Yisrael you don't have to pay taxes, because the Ran holds that the whole idea of Din Malchus Adina, of paying taxes, is based on the Melech saying, it's my town, so I make the rules. If you want to live here, you got to pay me money. So the Ran says, but in Eretz Yisrael it's not his town. Eretz Yisrael is promised to all the Klal Yisrael, to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so I don't have to pay this Melech any taxes. So Rosh Hashanah often points out, first of all, we don't pass them like that, Ran and Darin. It happens to be, there are like many different shittos about Din Malchus Adina according to Shulchan Aruch. It's not one of them. The Ran isn't one of them. But even if we were to pass them like that, Ran and Darn, it has nothing to do with taxes. This is just about a shutfus. If you live in a co-op or something, so someone's got to pay for the gardeners and for the lights and the hallways, and for, so you pay some sort of fee that you're a shutuf in. So that's the taxes that we're talking about over here. So how long does it take to have to live in the city to be part of such taxes? Yud beis chodesh, 12 months. So it's not 30 days. So I'm Rabbi Lokasha. There's a difference between being a member and an associate member, I guess. You know, like being a full member of the of the city and being someone who's associated with the city or a resident or temporary resident. Vatanya, and we have a brayso that supports this. Hamudra Anam Yibnei Yir Im Yesh Adam Shenishtar Sham Yud Beis Chodesh Asu Lehanas Menu Pachos Mikay Mutu Lehanas Menu. But if someone takes a neder anah, then I'm not going to get any anah from the Bnei Ha'ir. He only means the people that are there for 12 months. But Mi Yoshvei Ha'ir Im Nishtar Lamed Yom Asu Lehanas Menu Pachos Mikay Mutu Lehanas Menu. If he says Yoshvei Ha'ir, right, the difference between saying a North Woodmere guy and a guy who lives in North Woodmere, that there's a certain amount of time that it takes till he becomes Bnei Ha'ir and he's not just Yoshvei Ha'ir, it's not just a place that he happens to live. It could be that when he buys a house, it's different. There's a whole sugya in Masechta Bava Basra that if someone buys a house, then he's declaring himself not to, meaning that that's a declaration of permanent residence, essentially. When you buy a house, Nilchus Mezuzah, we have such a thing. I just got the Shaila last night. Someone asked me, is it true that you have 30 days to put up Mezuzah when you move into a house? So that's a big misconception. It is true. It's not a total misconception. It's true if you rent a house in Chutz Laretz, you have a 30-day leeway till you put up a Mezuzah. But if you buy a house in Chutz Laretz, so you're saying, I'm here, this is it. So then right away you have to put up a mezuzah. And if you, there's a discussion about lease agreements, but we're making on that. But if you rent a house in Eretz Yisrael, also it's got to be right away. So we destroy everything in the city. So what's considered property of the city? So we had said already in the Mishnah, Nichsei Tzadikim that are outside the city do not get destroyed. That's meaning Tzadikim, meaning people who did not do the Avodah Zarah but happened to be part of an Yerani Dachas. They happened to live in the city. But Veskala Sherba teaches that it includes the Nichsei Tzadikim Shabbatocha. Shalala velo shalal shamayim. Shalala means but not things that are holy. Veskal shalala the Rabbos Nichsei Rishayim Shechutzala. Kol is Rabbos, even the nechassim that belong to Rishayim of the city, but those nechassim are currently outside of the city. We got to bring them in. Why did the tzaddikim's money get destroyed anyway? I mean, they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do avodah zara. So the Gemara says, yeah, but they're not innocent. What caused them to live in that city in the first place? It was obviously concerns for their mamon. So they deserve to have their city destroyed. This is a dafyomi coincidence. We just read about Lot. What caused Lot to have to see everything that he ever owned go up in flames behind him? Because the only reason he chose to live in that city was Mamonam, that it's an important muster that a person, when they make their decisions about where to live, has to look for the right kind of environment. That's the someone I was talking to high school boys last week. I spoke in TABC, and the boys were saying that Lot was, I was asking him, was Lot a tzaddik or a rasha? A big tzaddik. He was moser nefesh to be machnas areach. So I said, yeah, but for a person to put themselves in a situation where to be machnas areach, you need to be moser nefesh. So that itself makes you guilty. You can't put yourself in a situation where it works against you, where everything works against you, Ruchnius, even if you're willing to, you think you're willing to stand up to that kind of pressure. Amar Marves, Kol Shlala Tikvots, L'Rabos Nichsei Rishayim Shebechutzula. We even gather in all the Nichsei Rishayim that are outside of the city. Amar Rav Chassa, Amar Rav Chissa, Ubinikbatzim Letocha. That's only if it's nechassim that are close enough that we'll be able to gather it together and bring it into the city on time. If there's a pikadon of a person of an Irani Dachas, that's mutter. Says more pikadon, whose pikadon? Anshi Irani Dachas gives a pikadon to someone else, or someone else gives to him. Hey chidami, ilema di ira cheres v'isnuhu begava. If it belongs to another city, but it's a pikadon that belongs to people who live in another city, but happens to be by the Irani Dachas right now. So pshita de mutar and lav shlalahu. Of course, that's mutter. It doesn't belong to the Irani Dachas. Now maybe it's the reverse. We're talking about a pikadon that belongs to someone in the Irani Dachas, but right now it's in a different city. So you didn't kibatz on the tocha. If you could get it back to the city, amay mutar, why should there be mutar? We just learned that anything that can be gathered back into the city on time, you have to destroy. V'yein kibatz on the tocha, hamrachad zimna. And if it's not kibatz on the tocha, we already said once that Rav Chisda already said one time that only the chasim that you could gather into the city by the time you want to burn it get destroyed. Otherwise, they're not going to get destroyed. So what's the chiddush over here? So says Marlo, we don't mean a pikadon that belongs to the Anshei Irani Dachas. We mean a pikadon that belongs to other people that are right now in the possession of the Anshei Irani Dachas. And nevertheless, still it's not so pashut that those nechassim are mutter going to kabbalah leachrayus, because we're talking about a case that the Anshei Irani Dachas from mekabel achrayus on the bikadon. So mal de tema, keeping the kabel achrayus kididei dami, one might have assumed that if he's mekabel achrayus, it becomes his. So kamash mula, and that's why we have to be told that it does not become his, even though he's mekabel achrayus. This causes the Rishonim to start discussing, is that really true? That when you're mekabel achrayus, it's not yours? How come by chametz bepesach we don't say that? You're mekabel achrayus for chametz bepesach, and all of a sudden the sugyim psachim, that a person is allowed to have chametz b'toch beiso, chametz shel goyim pesach, because lo yiro l'cha, chametz darshnav atalro shel acherim, but if you're mekabel achrayus, then it's not called shel acherim, that is called yours. So Tosei HaRosh asked this question, say, by chametz, the issue is whether it's included in lo yiro l'cha. If you're mekabel achrayus, so you have some sheichus, it is l'cha, but is it actually shlala? Is it actually the shlal of the city? That's a different geder, meaning these are two different dinim. Yeah, you have a chrayus on it, so it has more shaychus to you, but you're still not really the owner of it. Amar Rav Chista. So Rav Chista says vayter now. Behema chetzio shel yirin dachas v'chetzio shel yir acheres. So a new issue. What if you have a behema that belongs half to the yirin dachas, half to another city? Asura, so it's asur. But isa chetzio shel yirin dachas v'chetzio shel yir acheres, mutaris. You have a doe that's half of an yirin dachas and half of another city, it's mutar. It always bothered me why the Gemara talks about like ownership of a doe. Make another doe. I mean, ownership, like that was a big deal. And it turns out, if you speak to bakers, it is a big deal. There's like sourdoughs that are used as yeast and bread that have been passed down for centuries in small towns in Italy, that they have like these I was just asked a shayla about it last week, so it was like eye-opening. So it's apparently having that dough is very important. That's what would be machmit and give a certain flavor to all their bread. So they were very machmit on these things. So if you have an isa that's chati shalein dachas and chati of another ear is mutter. So the shayla I was asked was not about ear and dachas, it was about it was a kasher shayla. Can you just buy sourdough anywhere? Some is just flour and water. Okay, so that's an interesting. So my time, behema command delo peligodam. So why would there be a difference between an animal and the dough? So Gemara says behema command delo peligodamya. An animal can't be split easily. Isa command de peligodamya. A dough can be split. So therefore, we view it as if it's split. That half of it is under the ownership of the Yerin Dachas, and half of it is under foreign ownership. So. What would be the halacha about getting hana'a from a behema shel irani dachas? Not about getting hana'a. You're not allowed to get hana'a. Question is, does shchita take away tumas nevela from it? I mean, if you shech the animal, does it still have tumas nevela? Normally, shchita would make it that it's not a nevela, and therefore it's not tame as a nevela. Now, when it comes to this animal, you're not going to be able to eat it anyway, because it's also about hana'a. But what about the tuma? Lefi charev amrachmana lo shna shachte mishchad lo shna cut the mikdal. Do we say that the Torah says you have to kill the animal lefi charev, and it doesn't make a difference whether you do it with an act of shchita or you just stab it or something? That even a shchita is considered like a hariga, and therefore is not mitar the animal from tumas nevela because we just view the shchita as a hariga. Or dilma kibin the shachta mahani l'shchita. Or do we say that no, when you shecht it, the mice of shchita takes away tumas nevela, and therefore it would become even though it's asubana, it would not be tami tumas nevela. So my take, the Gemara leaves that unresolved. There's got to be some lumdus there in terms of what the exact nature of the tumas nevela is and what it's a function of. Whether it's shchita as a matir of the basar is what takes away the tumas nevela. That when shchita serves as a matir, it could take away the tumas nevela, or it's just the maisa shchita, not as a matir, because over here you have a maisa shchita, but it's not matir. We have to think it through, figure out what the lumdus is, but there's got to be lumdus there. By Rav Yosef, sayar nashim tzidkanios mahu. What about the hair that belongs to nashim tzidkanios, meaning women who do not do avodah zarah? Does that hair get destroyed? So Amar Rava, had rishayos aser. Wait a second. The very fact that you're asking about nashim tzidkanios makes it pretty evident that you hold that hair that belongs to evil women is going to be aser. Well, tikvots v'saraftik. If the pasuk says you have to gather all the possessions and burn it, but over here mishen mechusrael kvitzo usreifa. So apparently the only way that it could be burnt is if all you need to do is gather it and burn it. But you can't just burn it without taking it off the woman's head first. So over here, shouldn't that disqualify it anyway? No, we're not talking about the hair, we're talking about the sheitel. If it's on her body, if it's mechuber to her body, so then it becomes part of her body. In the Chora, even though, in the halacha, we view a sheitel as a beged, but a beged also becomes part of a person's person's body. We have this by Tumas Negoyim. Person walks into a house carrying clothing in his hands. So it's considered the clothing came into the house, like Kalim that go into the house are Tame right away. But a person is only Tame from Nigei Batim when he stays in the house a long enough time. And the clothing that he's wearing goes after the halacha of him, because they become part of him. But it's important to know that a Sheitel has a din, not of hair, just because the Gemara refers to it as Seir, it always has a din of a Beged. I often get asked the Shaila about a woman who wants to get her Sheitel cut during the 3 weeks or something, or during Svira. So you don't look at the halachas of getting a haircut. It's the halachas of tailoring Begadim. That's the relevant halacha, because it's tailoring a Beged. That's the status that it has. So if it's Mechubur to her guf, of course her Sheitel is part of her. So the Tzricha de Tali B'sifta. No, the case is where it's not right now on her head, but it's on the Sheitel head, you know, those scary things. So Nichsei Tzadikim Shebetocha Dami Va'avid, do we assume that it has the status of Nichsei Tzadikim Shebetocha and therefore gets destroyed? Adilma Kivin Da'ayla V'Nafka Kilavusha Dami. Or do we assume that since it's always being taken on and taken off, so it's considered like a Levush? Take who the Gemara leaves that unresolved. And one of the Achronim, they have a discussion if two people are walking into a door at the same time and one of them is wearing talus and tefillin, the other is holding talus and tefillin, who gets kedima? Do you assume that? So they bring this as this Gemara as a raya, that when something is being worn by a person, it becomes part of them and it's not considered that they're actually holding svarim, and the person who's holding svarim goes before an individual. I would have said the opposite. I would have said someone who's wearing it, so it's a higher level of kedusha. He's elevated himself to a higher level of kedusha than someone who's just holding svarim. But okay, that's called shalot tikvot al toch rechov tan rabbanon elo rechov in a nasir nidachas. One of the qualifications is it needs to have a rechov. If you can't meet all the qualifications, so then it can't be a nidachas. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva Omer, in the Rechov, also la Rechov. If there's no Rechov, make one. So, Mike Kamiflegi, what's the Nekudas HaMachlokas? Marasov Rechov Meyakara Mashma, Marasov Rechov HaShanami Mashma. Does Rechov mean a pre-existing Rechov, or does Rechov just mean that there is a Rechov in the end of the day? I mean, that's how you actually carry it out. And we said the hektish in the Irani Dachas should be redeemed for money, the Trumos should be allowed to rat, Maisr Sheni, Kisvei HaKodesh, should be nignas. So Tan Rabbanan, how you bought kachim? Let's say the Erni Dachas had kachim. Kachim is bech. They had behemos that were supposed to be brought as karbanos, but the Rishonim of the Erni Dachas had dedicated them as karbanos. Yamusu. So the Rishonim explained it means you bring them into a closed off room until they die of hunger. It has to be that way. It can't be that yamusu be a dime, because you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to just kill an animal that is kachim. Kachim bedekabayis. If it was designated just for its value to be used for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, yipadu. So then it only has kedushas mamon, it doesn't have kedushas aguf, so you redeem it for money. Utrumos yirkavu ma'aser sheni v'kisvei hakodesh yiganzu. Trumos should be allowed to rat, ma'aser sheni and kisvei hakodesh should be put in geniza, should be buried. Rabbi Shimon Omer behemta v'lo behemas b'char u'ma'aser, that we darshan from the pasuk behemta, but not a behemas b'char u'ma'aser, that doesn't get destroyed. Shalala prat l'kasef hakdash v'kasef ma'aser. Shalala excludes kasef hakdash and kasef of Meiser Sheni. Amr Mar, how you bought kachim? Kachim is beach yimusu. So we said kachim is beach. You just kill the kachay. They not kill. You let them die. Va'mayimusu yiruach yistavu v'yimachru v'yiplud me'elin dava. Isn't there a better etza? Can't you just let them graze until they develop a mum and then sell them and then the money will go to the dava? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar zevach rishayim toeva. That's not a possibility, because the carbon that a rasha brings is considered a toeva takarish baruch hu. So if you're poda these behemos and you buy other ones instead, it doesn't help, because that's going to be the zavach rishayim. So ein lan takana elamisa, you have to just let them die. We don't want karbanos from rishayim. Reish Lakish amar mamun bailim hu vacha bekachim shchayev vachriusan. Reish Lakish says no. The reason you can't do this is because these behemos are not mamun hegdish. They belong to the bailim. And over here bekachim shchayev vachriusan, the mafresh is chayev in the achrayus. So a person says harei olai ola. Halacha is if anything happens to that animal, he's going to have to bring another one. Rabbi Shimon, and we're assuming like Rabbi Shimon that any carbon that you're chayiv in its achrayus becomes mamun bailim. So by nir nidachas, it's also considered the mamun ha'ir, and you have to destroy it anyway, even the replacement. So hamid the sefer Rabbi Shimon, reshalav Rabbi Shimon. No, but the sefer goes on to quote Rabbi Shimon, makes it sound like up until that point it's not Rabbi Shimon. Ela kachim kalim lebi Rabbi Yosi Aglili, damar kachim kalim mamun bailim. It must be that we're talking about kachim kalim, and we're assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Yosi Aglili that kachim kalim is mamun bailim. Aval kachim kachim. But when it comes to kachim kachim, mai, what would the din be? Yipadu, yeah, eno chinam. You'll be paid to that for money, and you'll buy other karbanos with that money, karbanos nedava, because it's not considered the mamon bailin. If that's the case, though, that there's a chiluk between kachim kachim and kachim kalim, adetani sefer kachim betekabayis yiftu. Instead of the sefer, you want to come up with a case where you have to be paid? They came up with the case of kachim betekabayis. Liflog listen bidida. Why do you have to come up with a new case? Talk about the karbanos themselves. You could have come up with the case of the carbon itself and said that you have to be podeh. So the Braisa could not have said that any behemoth that you're mafresh for kache kachim is niftes, because a chatas is also kache kachim. And the halacha is that an animal is designated as a chatas, and then the owner dies, the animal dies as well. You cannot be podeh it. So the rule would not have been a clear ironclad rule. There would have been exceptions. So the easier way to say it is just by talking about kachay bedekabayis. Says Mar Bishlam, Rabbi Yochanan, Lomar Reish Lakish. I understand why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't want to hold like Reish Lakish, that only kachay kachim is mamun bailim will die, but kachay that's mamun bailim will die, but kachay kachim only kachim kalim it's mamun bailim will die, but kachay kachim would be niftes. Tichsiv zevach rishayim toeva, because he holds that it's always a toeva, and kachay kachim we also don't have a takana bepedia. You can't help it. Al Reish Lakish, my time Lomar Rabbi Yochanan. Why not just say that zevach rishayim toeva, and they have to destroy all of them? Why do you have to make distinctions? So Amalach Reish Lakish will tell you, that's only when the carbon of the Rasha is still there. That's when you say Zevach Rishayim Toeva. Aval Hacha, but over here with the carbonos of the Irni Dachas, where you're not bringing the behemoths themselves, you're being poed to them, you're buying new ones, that's not Zevach Rishayim Toeva, because we apply the principle, Kivin de Ishtani, Ishtani, that once it went through some sort of Shinui, it's no longer what it once was, so it no longer has the halachic status of what it once had, and therefore it's no longer considered a zevach rishayim toeva. Tomorrow's daf is a little shorter, so we fell behind on purpose. We'll pick up at the two dots, but it's a shem tomorrow.